The cross was used by the Roman Empire as an instrument of capital punishment. But before, the condemned person would carry, usually his cross, they were scourged, just like Jesus was scourged. The Romans took a cord, usually of leather, with bones, pieces of bones attached to it. Maybe the bones were sharpened, and they would lash out on the condemned person with that cord. And you could imagine what those sharp objects on the cord would do to the condemned person's body. A lot of bloodletting, even some other things happening. And if the condemned person survived the scourging, then they put the cross on him. It could have been the full cross, or scholars say it could have been only the cross beam. And so here is the condemned person, bleeding profusely, carrying that heavy cross. And the Romans wanted to do it where people would see it, see the person being paraded through the streets as a message to them that this is what will happen to you if you go against the Roman Empire. If the condemned person survived the scourging and carrying the cross to the place of crucifixion, then they prepared that cross, laid that condemned person down. And the Romans had a science to it, according to scholars. They took a 12-inch nail, and they knew where to pierce the person's body so it could have a devastating impact on the nervous system. And they usually crucified the person with their knees bent. And what would happen when they put the cross upright? The person would have difficulty breathing, and they would then try to push themselves up to breathe, but it would scrape against the nails in their bones and also hitting the nerve system and send shock waves through the body. Every time the person would try to stand up a little bit and breathe until the person was exhausted. And if he didn't die from all the blood that was let out, he died from suffocation. That's why in the Passion narratives, when it was getting dark on that Friday, the soldiers were asked to break the legs of those who had been crucified so they could get the death over with. They found out Jesus had already died, but the ones who were crucified to his right and to his left had not. So they're going to break their legs so they would not be able to rise up and try to breathe. Every type of capital punishment is horrific, but scholars note and contemporaries at that time said that that type of capital punishment was really brutal, and it was sent to send a devastating message. And I say these things so that we can understand that the apostles knew all about that. And they probably saw some people who had been scourged and saw some people paraded down the street on their way to crucifixion. And this is the context in which they hear Jesus say, "And whoever does not take up his or her cross and follow me is not worthy of me." That's the context. And we need to understand that because, you know, we're used to bloodless crucifixes and wearing nice golden or silver crucifixes or crosses around our neck, or put it on our lapel, or think we're doing something by putting a cross on the back of our car or SUV and whatnot. The cross was a devastating instrument of torture. And Jesus said, "You're going to have to take that up and follow me." And I'm sure at that point, didn't happen to the apostles, but probably some disciples said, "I'm not willing to continue on this journey with you, Jesus." Now, we may not have to suffer martyrdom or violent persecution, although there are Christians who are being martyred and suffering violent persecution around the world, many in the home countries of our parishioners here. But we are all called to die to self, that we are not the center of our existence, but that God is. And that we are to place everything at the foot of the cross of Jesus. All of our aspirations needs to be seen within that lens. Is it going to glorify God? For in the second reading we heard today, that the Christian life is one of dying and rising, dying to sin and rising to live for God in Christ Jesus through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Everything in our life needs to be put at the foot of the cross in light of the resurrection. We can't get away from it. We cannot discount it. We cannot just push it in the background. For the cross and taking it up is at the center of the Christian existence. And Jesus said, if you're not willing to take it up, you're not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. And what he was trying to underscore is that those who wish to follow the Lord cannot be involved in half measures. That we must give a total commitment in response to the total commitment of Jesus loving us. And then we may be quick to respond, well, I can't do that. Well, that's a fact. By ourselves, we cannot do that. But with Jesus' help, we can. We can grow in doing that. And I suspect that one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist was to help us to do that. For he said, do this in memory of me. Remember what I have done for you. I suspect that the Lord Jesus guided the apostles and the early church to set the rhythms of the rituals of worship to help us to remember and to encourage us as we take up our cross in union with Christ. For the Eucharist is the celebration of the one eternal sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. That which is present to the Father for eternity is made present in a tangible way during the celebration of Holy Mass or the Eucharist. And so let's look at the rhythm of the worship, because as you heard me say several Sundays ago, this is the second year of the National Eucharistic Revival instituted by the bishops of the church in the United States. And the word revival is used. And the second year of the revival is the year of parish revival. Have a renewed understanding of the centrality of the Eucharist in our discipleship. That it's not just a mere obligation to fulfill, and that we have an understanding of what Jesus is doing during Eucharistic worship. You know, at times, young people and young adults in their rebellious moments, they want to, you know, stop coming to Holy Mass. But there are some adults there, too, who want to do that in their rebellious moments. And I urge you not to cast that aside until you understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, and decide, can I trust that that is what Jesus is doing for me and for my brothers and sisters? The first part of the rhythm of worship is commitment. We have the commitment of our Lord Jesus Christ to love us totally and unconditionally. And he invites us to do this in his memory. And so we come from commitment to the Lord. Now, some of you may think I'm preaching to the choir, but there, in my experience of 29 years of pastoral ministry, there's some people who come to church and they're quiet quitting. You may have heard that phrase in other contexts. Quiet quitting means that an employee just does the bare minimum at work, until they think they find something better. And they move from quiet quitting to quitting. And some of us are doing quiet quitting in the Catholic Church. Sometimes to please family members, Instead of trying to understand what's happening in the rituals there, they come as consumers. What are you going to do for me, Father Harris? What are you going to do for me, Holy Family Church, as I come to worship today? What are you going to do for me? Versus, I've come in a commitment to the Lord, thanking him for what he has already done for me and what he is doing for me. We prayed in the opening hymn today. He's ransomed us. He's restored us. He has healed us. He has forgiven us. And that is why I praise the Lord, the King of heaven. I come because I have a commitment. I'm not a consumer. And I try to bring all of myself to worship. I'm not all that I could be, but the Lord accepts me and is helping me to do that. Now, some of you may say, well, Father Harris, I understand why you talk about commitment. You're a priest. And you know, my mother knows better, but sometimes seminarians, John and Tongue, I think sometimes some people think I, you know, came from outer space, landed the spaceship at 5400 Roland Avenue at St. Mary's Seminary in 1989, got ordained 5 years after that, know nothing about human life, nothing. But I say it from this experience, the experience of a child who was a junior in high school, who faced the sudden death of his father and had to talk with the Lord and say, do I really believe what the Lord says about eternal life? And sitting there at the funeral at St. Edward's Church, hearing the Lord say, I know what you're feeling, Ray. This is my body which is shed for you, given for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. I'm totally committed in love to you. Or as a seminarian in the second year, when I had a spiritual drought, and the only thing I could pray is, why don't you help me? And yet I continued to go to Holy Mass at the seminary chapel, and I continued to hear Jesus say, I understand where you're going through, Ray. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. I'm totally committed to you. Well, when I was in my first assignment as a priest, and when the second pastor came, there's a group of parishioners who met with the pastor to say, we want Father Harris, well, they called me Father Ray then, we want Father Ray removed because we don't want a black priest here. And I knew that was not the opinion of the entire parish, such as the two sitting right here. But I continued to celebrate Holy Mass at St. Anthony of Padua Church and heard Jesus said, I know what you're going through. This is my body, which is given for you, my blood shed for you. I'm totally committed to you. But when I finally had my first pastorate and then had a sudden autoimmune blood disorder and three subsequent hospitalizations, and in the third hospitalization didn't think I was going to get out alive. And yet, when I could celebrate Mass in my mother's home, when I was recovering, I continued to hear Jesus say, this is my body which is given for you, my blood which is shed for you. Or when in 2019 there was the promise of better vision through cataract surgery, but after subsequent surgeries due to complications of glaucoma, the doctor at the Wilma Eye Clinic said, well, this is the best that you're going to have to deal with. And yet I continued to come to Holy Family Church through it all and heard the Lord Jesus say, this is my body which is given for you. This is my blood shed for you. You may not understand all the things happening, but I'm here for you. And that's only a fraction of what's happened in my life. And I haven't even talked about the blessings that the Lord has provided. So I'm speaking from experience here. And so we're called to give of ourselves wholly and unconditionally to the Lord. With all of our joys and all of our sorrows, we've come not in our name, but in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want you to pour your mercy upon me as I come into contact with you. And I want to glorify you with my life. And then that commitment disposes us to hear God communicate with us. I talk about commitment and quiet quitting because Some of our parishioners are quiet quitting, and you know, they hedge their bets and maybe come to Holy Family sometimes and then go next door to a chapel and seek blessings, or go up the boulevard and be in an uproar, or go on an avenue into a house. And God bless those churches. I hope they have fervent disciples, but we build fervent disciples here at Holy Family Church. But we can't do everything for you. It's a personal commitment. It's my responsibility to equip and to say what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. But then the Lord does the work to knock the door on our hearts, and we have to open it. And so commitment disposes us to communicate with the Lord, because if you come thinking, I'm just not going to get anything out of this ritual, guess what? You're not going to get anything out of it, because you've already closed yourself up to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do. He's not going to force himself into our lives. And so commitment disposes us to communicate with the Lord. And we hear the word of God proclaimed, and we see our lives lined up with the word of God. And in those cases in which it doesn't line up, in love for God, we want to convert. Conversion is part of the cross. Dying to sin's not easy. And so the Lord says, I'm here for you. Not only did I tell you what to do, I'm going to help you to do it. But again, it's a life of faith. It takes patience. People want something quick. People want an emotional high that's only going to sustain them until they walked on the parking lot after the service. And Jesus didn't say, take up your cross whenever you feel like it. He said, take up your cross in general, the cross of commitment. It disposes us to hear Jesus talk to us, whether he's consoling or challenging us. And undergoing conversion is part of the cross. Then we move from commitment to communication with the word of God to communion. Jesus sustains us with his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearance of bread and wine. Now, some people may decide not to believe that that's what Jesus does, but I think Jesus is all powerful. And if he created the world out of nothing, he can do whatever he wants to do. And he said that through the ministry of the church, I will change bread and wine into my most holy body and blood and nourish the people of God. There's nothing as closer in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than receiving Holy Communion. And Jesus assuring us that in whatever circumstance you're dealing with, I am with you. That's another way that we carry the cross. In whatever circumstance, we trust in the faithfulness of God being with us and not giving up, but trusting that if we have given up, we can get back up, for the Lord's hand is there to pick us back up. The Lord says, I'm totally committed to you. I'm totally in love with you. I will be by your side. I'm not a bystander as you deal with the cross in your life. In fact, I'm with you there. And I want you to know that every Lord's day, that I'm with you. Because some people will be tempted to say, I don't understand. I decided to follow God and I'm trying to give my life totally to God and all hell has broken loose. Well, welcome to the cross. Jesus said it was going to be that way. Don't be surprised. Yeah, there are blessings, but there will be difficulties precisely because you're trying to live your faith. And if Jesus had to suffer that, why do you think you won't do that? But some people think Jesus died and rose from the cross to give me a nice car, give me a big house, give me a big bank account, suffer nothing. Do you see any of that in that verse? Matthew 10, verse 38. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But yet people are attracted by the words increase, increase. Well, I see a lot of these slogans during the year. You know, it'll be fixed in 1996. There'll be an increase in 2023. Nobody talks about take up your cross in 2024. But Jesus says, take up your cross all the time and don't be ashamed of it, because it is the path to victory. That's why we continue to carry it, because we know it didn't stop on the cross. But through the cross, he has conquered over sin and death, and so will we if we do not give up. And that is why we come to the foot of the cross during Holy Mass and to say, Jesus, thank you that you give yourself wholly and unconditionally to me. Help me to give of myself wholly and unconditionally to you. I want to be worthy of you. I want to be worthy of you. And I know if I mess up, I can still come and you can help me. So at the end of Mass, after we express our commitment to God, we communicate with God, we're in communion with God, God commissions us. He sends us forth like Jesus sent the apostles. And one thing I want you to pray about is to talk to somebody who has decided to quiet quit or lead to quitting. Have you really understood what happens at Mass? I was never told. Well, how old are you now? When are you going to take responsibility for yourself? You can tell me everything about the sports team you like. You can tell me everything about your work. You can tell me everything about the political pundit you like. Things that do not matter in eternity. But you're going to say, well, I just don't have time to learn what it means before I decide whether I want to cast it off or not. In love, ask them, do you really understand what is happening at Holy Mass? If you don't understand it, go to the catechism, come talk to Father Harris. Even though he's very enthusiastic right now, he'll shut up and listen to you and respond to your questions. But before you cast off what Jesus has given to us through his passion, death, and resurrection, understand what he has done in love for us and why he has said, do this, not anything else, but this in memory of me. And I want to tell you, the Eucharist beats any LED screen behind a backup singers and whatnot. Smoke and mirrors and all of that. Don't chase after fads. Focus on the main thing Jesus said. You must carry your cross. And if you don't carry your cross, everything else is irrelevant when you say that you're supposed to be a Christian. Now, I know I said some tough things today. I don't apologize for that. I'm going to be called to account for the souls under my care. And I do not want souls under my care to say, without understanding what Jesus is doing out of love for us, oh, I don't need that. There's more to life than the Eucharist. When Jesus says, if you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have any life within you. So I'm going to fulfill my role before the Lord so that I can get into heaven. And I want you to go to heaven with me. And I want those who have absent themselves from Holy Family Church to come to heaven with us. And I'm asking you, in the name of the Lord, to be commissioned to reach out. And it may not be settled by one conversation, but in patience to continue to have conversations and try to demonstrate in your own life, as I've tried to do in my life, the difference it makes to go through the rhythm of worship that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us through the ministry of his church, to help us to be at the foot of his cross and to take up our crosses in union with him and to conquer with him so that we can be together with him for eternity. That's what matters. And souls matter to Holy Family Church. God, help us to have that zeal for worship, to not put God on a time clock, to be more concerned about when I go to dinner or lunch, as opposed to, can I give my all in worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done more than I could ever imagine, and I can never thank him enough. For I can carry my cross, I can persevere in doing it, I can get back up when I've laid it down and carry it again, and I can experience the same victory Jesus experienced as he was crucified and rose from the dead. God help us to have that zeal. Amen.
Amen.
Well,